Welcome to Season 5 of Ye Olde Dragons Library, the storytelling podcast. Each episode this season will be a chapter from the second book in the Enchanted Castle Archives, The Beastly Beauty. In Season 1, our heroine, Ash, was warned multiple times to stay away from the Enchanted Castle, and if she ever saw it coming toward her, to run. Now, she finds the Enchanted Castle, or, perhaps more accurately, it finds her. Will prophecy come true? Can she escape when she finds out the truth of Cecil's warning that every castle wants a princess? Listen and find out. Chapter 22. Fang chirped and hopped slow circles around the two of them until Ash got the understanding of what he was saying. Then she laughed. In essence, Fang had commented that the castle was like an entire warren of bunnies, where the parents had gone away on a war against another warren that had insulted them. They were gone so long, the young bunnies had to take care of themselves. They didn't like it at all. Especially when nasty, meat-eating creatures such as weasels and foxes came sniffing around the doorways to the warren at night and tried to dig down to them. When their parents came home, the young bunnies tried to block as many openings into the warren as they could to make sure their parents could never go anywhere again, not even outside to graze. And wasn't that foolish? "Can the castle hear that?" Ash asked. Isolova chuckled. "Oh, yes. It might not have wanted to listen, or even liked being compared to young bunnies, but it heard. We have quite a philosopher in our Fang, don't we?" They got no answer from the castle that evening. Not that Ash expected to hear actual words, or even writing on a wall, or some other method of direct communication. Isolova didn't speak directly with the castle, but had to rely on impressions and whatever the suits of armor did in reaction to requests made and questions asked. However, a little more than 2 hours after Ash went to bed, a suit of armor came into her room and shook her awake. It deposited a small trunk on the floor of her room and walked out. Then the lamps came on. She opened the trunk and found boots, gloves, and a set of sturdy clothes, what she would consider traveling clothes. All of the best materials, of course, as suited the lady of the castle. On one side of the trunk was a mask, all in silver and onyx, a wolf's head. She brushed her fingers over it, and they tingled with clear evidence of strong magic. "What does the mask do?" she asked Isolova, less than 20 minutes later. Enough time to put the clothes on and hurry across the gallery to the mirror room. "It grants you the strength and the gifts and the senses of the wolf." Isolova sighed. "And it will not come off until you return to the castle." Ash inhaled to retort that she had already promised to return. Wasn't that good enough? She didn't, because yelling at Isolova was pointless. She didn't want to irritate the castle enough that it took back the gift. She had to see it as a gift, a chance to get outside, to do something worthwhile, to rescue books. Grumbling about the conditions attached to the gift would just waste time. "Then I guess the only question is which portal will bring us out closest to Dewshine," she said after several more minutes, studying the mask, turning it over and over in her hands. In truth, she had several more questions, but she had learned to deal with the most important ones, and then worry about smaller things later, such as how to get from the portal to the tower, how to break through the spell isolating Dewshine, and how to transport the books back through the portal before it closed. A suit of armor strode through the door and touched a small hand mirror to Isolova's frame. All her swirls of blue and green and purple magic compressed into a bright spot where the hand mirror touched her surface, and then exploded across the surface of the smaller mirror. The armor then handed the mirror to Ash. "I'm in here, dear," Isolova said. Her voice even sounded smaller. "I'll be talking to my friends the entire time. Hurry! The portal has already been open 5 hours. We have less than 7 to get there, then travel to Dewshine's tower and get back." "But how do we break through this spell?" Ash let the suit of armor grip her shoulder and turn her and give her a nudge toward the doors. The answer, was a large battering ram that looked like it was made of glass, or perhaps ice, lying in the bed of a long wagon that sat outside the castle doors. 7 suits of armor, all of them plain matte black, stood around the wagon. There was no horse or any other creature harnessed to the wagon. Ash wouldn't have been surprised if the suits of armor moved into position and grasped the long hitching bar that extended in front of the wagon. "They don't trust you not to run away," Fang commented, as he bounced past her and up onto the battering ram. A flash wrung a yelp from him, and he leaped crooked to land with a thud on the seat of the wagon. "That hurts!" "Imagine what that will do to the barrier spell," Ash murmured. She took a deep breath, looked around, studied the silent suits of armor that stared straight ahead rather than watching her for a change, then climbed up into the wagon seat. Nothing happened. "You need to put the mask on," Izalova told her, after she sat there for several moments, waiting for the suits of armor to do something. Ash hesitated, because other than holes for her eyes, her face would be entirely covered. The mask curved to cup her chin and attach behind her ears. How could she breathe? The castle was letting her leave to rescue Dewshine. She had to trust it, even though it obviously didn't trust her to keep her promise. Well, as Lord Diggory had said many times, trust was a treasure that had to be earned over time. If she had to prove herself trustworthy, then maybe she needed to demonstrate some trust in the castle first. Taking a deep breath, she closed her eyes and raised the mask to her face. A gasp escaped her when the mask grew warm and softened and bent to clasp her head. For a few seconds, she couldn't breathe. Then the smells of the forest gushed into her nose and mouth, so potent, and yet each scent so individual, she shuddered from the impact. Ash opened her eyes. The starlight was as bright as noonday. She looked at the wagon seat where she had put Izalova, and the mirror's frame gleamed with shimmers of green and gold magic. The battering ram pulsed in rainbow streaks. Fang glowed a rich gold streaked with red. "I'm borrowing..." Ash took another deep breath, startled at the huskiness of her voice, with undertones of growls and howls. The scent of the forest called to her, sending streaks of energy through her arms and legs. She wanted to run and run and sing to the moon, although there was no moon visible in the enchanted forest. The essence of it, the power of it, was there. Ash smelled the moon hidden in the darkness. She looked down at herself. Her hands were longer, wider, covered with silver and black streaked fur. Her nails were long, thick, curved into claws. She reached up to touch her face. She couldn't feel the mask. Her cheekbones were wider, sharper, her face longer, her nose elongated. Ash ran her tongue over her teeth and felt fangs. Trembling, she ran her hands through her hair. It now fell in a thickly curled mane past her shoulders. "If it's any comfort, you're lovely. Frightening, but lovely," Izalova said. "Would you be more comfortable running alongside the wagon for a while? Or do you need to sit until you get used to the changes?" "I'll stay here." The wagon lurched forward. The long hitching bar rose up, so it pointed to the horizon and didn't threaten to catch on anything. The 8 suits of armor walked alongside and in front of the wagon. Fang perched on the seat next to Ash, ears swiveling in all directions, on alert. The wagon didn't lurch and thump and bounce through the forest, but found smooth paths that Ash hadn't guessed were there. Perhaps under the thick growth of the forest there were roads waiting to be used again. She thought about some of the prophecies she had heard about the castle and the forest, and the warning she had been given about a sword and not falling on it. Could the castle be anchored again, and the forest restored to the normal flow of time? Could people travel through the forest again without fear of losing their lives and loved ones in the space of a few days? That was a question for some other time. She needed to get used to seeing and smelling and tasting and hearing the world through the wolf senses of the mask. After half an hour, the restlessness pulsing through her legs grew strong enough she had to leap down from the wagon. She couldn't simply walk. She had to run. The wagon sped up, and the suits of armor kept up without running. Their strides covered more ground with each step. The smells of the forest filled her head. Ash thought she might howl, and that was exhilarating and frightening both at the same time. What if the mask refused to come off when she returned to the forest? A new gush of smells caught her nose, and Ash put that worry away for later. She followed the aroma of bog and moss and ancient trees. "We're coming to a portal," she called back to Izalova. Ash laughed, the sound low and furry. "I could go through the portal with my eyes closed. This is amazing!" The portal opening was framed in several massive, fallen, moss-garbed oaks that had tangled their upper branches and held each other up. The suit of armor leading the group gestured for Ash to get into the wagon. She obeyed, knowing she had to be perfectly behaved this time out, if the castle would let her go on other rescues in the future. Moss dripped down from inside the archway of oaks, and Ash ducked, wary of the smell of wet and rot. They emerged into darkness, the wagon wheels suddenly splashing through bog, sticking every few feet in the thick mud under the water. The air grew thick, and Ash thought her lungs would fill with wet and mud and moss. Then they emerged through a curtain of thick moss into bright moonlight. "Oh, my," Izalova sighed. "What a difference! It's like I've been shouting through 20 layers of curtains against a solid stone wall. Hello! Yes, I hear you! Excuse me, dear, while I get our bearings." Laughter rippled from her, and her light grew brighter. The wagon continued forward. The suits of armor plodded alongside. Fang leaned against Ash and sat up as tall as he could, sniffing, turning his head in all directions. "What do you smell? What do you hear?" A humming filled her ears and the fur covering them tingled. Her ears twitched. There was far too much to get used to, going in wolf shape and wolf mind. Best to stay in the wagon, even though her legs ached to run again. Izalova had good news and bad news. She had made contact with 9 mirrors, all eager to help them find their way to Dewshine's hidden tower. However, every one of those mirrors was either living in hiding with their masters, because of the constant magical and political feuding within their country, ne'er-do-well, or they were just as abandoned and lost as Dewshine. They were within 20 minutes of travel of the nearest major road, which would take them to within an hour of Dewshine's tower. However, they couldn't remain on that road and risk the countryside panicking if anyone saw Ash as she was now, or 8 suits of armor trotting alongside the wagon that moved without any horses to pull it. 3 mirrors monitored the traffic on the roads of Ne'er-do-well to assist the king's forces in protecting innocent travelers and collect tolls for that protection. They volunteered to guide the rescuers down side roads and animal trails that would keep them out of the sight of people. The journey would take slightly less than 2 days each way. 2 days on the Ne'er-do-well side of the portal equaled roughly 1.5 hours inside the enchanted forest. They had roughly 5 hours before the portal shifted to a different location. They had time, if they weren't delayed getting through the magic shielding Dewshine's tower, and further delayed by any defensive spells that might still be intact. If they were stranded on this side of the portal, would Ash have to keep wearing the mask until the portal opened again to the enchanted forest? Or would the suits of armor let her take it off so she could deal with people in the daylight? Or would they set off across the landscape and kingdoms until they found the nearest open portal? They didn't respond when she asked. Maybe they didn't know or couldn't decide until the time came. How long would that take? Izalova was busy catching up with all her friends in the mirror web, and the suits of armor didn't talk. Ash was grateful for the ear cuff and the mask that let her speak with Fang more clearly. He seemed to be having great fun, teaching her to open her wolf senses, how to interpret what she smelled and heard and tasted on the wind and felt vibrating through the ground when she trotted alongside the wagon. Fang taught her to hunt. Mostly, she terrified animals, so they blundered in their flight and ran into him. She and Fang needed to eat along the way, after all, and nobody thought of provisions when they rushed to get out of the castle and through the portal. Ash hesitated over the first kill, a forest-dwelling antelope. How long would it take to build a fire and butcher the hindquarters of the antelope and cook strips of meat? The wagon and the suits of armor continued moving away from them. They hadn't stopped when Fang led Ash on the hunt. She only felt safe to leap out of the wagon and go hunting with him because Fang kept track of the wagon. Ash considered settling down right there and testing the armor's patience to see if they would come back for her. Maybe get angry enough to pick her up and carry her to the wagon? She didn't like the mental image of being slung over the shoulder of any of those suits of armor, bouncing against it until they reached the wagon. Sighing, she slung the antelope across her shoulders and loped after the wagon. When she caught up with it, she tossed the carcass into the back and crouched next to the battering ram and ripped chunks out of the carcass with her claws. Only later, when she leaped out of the wagon to splash through a nearby stream and wash the blood off her hands and muzzle, did it strike her how easily she had done that, carrying that heavy weight, catching up with the wagon, and then ripping apart her food. She didn't let herself linger too long on the question of whether she had enjoyed it or not. She was just happy she hadn't gotten violently ill at the first taste of bloody, warm meat, the feel of it going down her throat. Maybe there were some benefits to being partially transformed into a beast? That thought struck her as funny. Fang demanded to know what made her laugh. He laughed when she told him. Then they fell into a strangely philosophical discussion, comparing her partial transformation to wolf with his partial transformation to vampire. Going in partial wolf shape made it easier to curl up on the seat of the wagon and sleep. Ash didn't need a blanket or pillow to get comfortable. She had a few odd dreams where she had a tail and it flicked around, tickling her nose, startling her awake several times. She found it slightly odd at first to be awake at night, trotting alongside the wagon while she slept during the day. They reached Dewshine's hidden tower several hours sooner than anticipated, just past midnight on their second day of travel. Ash saw nothing but devastation spreading around them as they followed the overgrown trail down into a shallow valley. All the toppled trees and pools that reflected the moonlight made the landscape look as if a flood had come through here and torn everything up by the roots. However, the sour smell lingering in the air, sometimes biting at her extra-sensitive wolf nose, wasn't the smell of standing water and rotting wood. "That's the smell of angry magic," Fang told her, after she had sniffed and sneezed half a dozen times, repelled by the stink that grew stronger with every step. He chirped laughter. "That's also the smell of fury that he wound so much of his magic into keeping the spell going, he crippled himself when he was attacked in turn." "Serves him right," Ash flinched when the wagon stopped for the first time since leaving the castle. "We're here?" "We're here," Izalova confirmed, from her spot on the wagon seat, where Ash had propped her up so she could see ahead of them. "This shouldn't take long. Stand back, dear." Ash moved away from the side of the wagon. Four suits of armor climbed up into the wagon bed, picked up the battering ram, and slid it out into the waiting arms of the other four suits. Then they tromped out into the widest of the ponds. Their feet didn't splash and they didn't sink down into the water. Ash held her breath, fascinated, as the suits adjusted their hold on the battering ram. Their arms pivoted at angles that were impossible if they had had people inside them. They swung the ram backward, then slammed it forward. A clanging, off-pitch ringing echoed through the valley. Ash caught a flash of light where the fist-shaped front of the ram hit something in midair. Back it swung, then forward with even more force. Dark green streaks of magic raced up and down the length of the ram and swirled around the fist. Sparks shot out when it hit the invisible barrier. The ringing fractured, going even more off-key, into different octaves. A third slam. A fourth. On the fifth impact, fracture lines radiated through the air, hissing and sparkling in black and red and a dirty shade of purple. On the sixth strike, those fracture lines shrieked and rose to a crescendo of multiple chords that abruptly harmonized, just before the entire valley fractured and flashed bright green and pinky purple. The toppled trees and pools and moss vanished, turning into a devastated valley full of rubble, burned and broken blocks scattered outward from the shattered trunk of a tower. When Ash's eyes adjusted from the brief blinding dazzle, the suits of armor were already tearing at the remains of the double door at the base of the tower. The battering ram was nowhere in sight. Izalova later explained that the ram had been solidified magic, and it had evaporated, all its strength used up in the effort of breaking through the spell. Ash snatched Isolova from her perch on the wagon seat and followed the armor into the tower. They went downward. Isolova generated a soft golden light to illuminate the way. Ash and Fang could see in the dark, but Isolova needed the light to find Dewshine. The mirror was small enough to sit on a bookshelf, jammed between two enormous volumes that looked as if they had been soaked, then set on fire, then soaked again, then trampled by a herd of angry bulls before being put on the shelf again. Ash had dealt with enough books already that had gotten muddy and rumpled. She could imagine how furious their condition made those magic books. She didn't look forward to having to deal with them when they got back to the castle. No matter how much knowledge they contained, some books had the least common sense when it came to necessary procedures to repair them. Some had tried to bite her while she was removing mud ground into their pages, or sewing them back into the binding. Ash and Isolova had planned what they would do when they reached the captive mirror. She picked up Dewshine, an oval in a quartz frame, just slightly taller than the hand mirror containing Isolova. She pressed the two mirrors face to face, then hurried them up out of the underground chamber, into the moonlight, and set them on the bench seat of the wagon. Now, everything rested on Isolova to reach the poor mirror, so wounded in its mind and spirit, it refused to believe that rescue had come. Ash got to work helping the suits of armor haul the captive books out. She was both relieved and disappointed that she only had to make 3 trips with her arms full of burned, torn, waterlogged books. The load of books barely reached the top of the wagon sides when the last volume had been hauled out. She cringed in anticipation of all the work to repair and restore them, and grumbled silently over the effort that yielded perhaps 100 books. The moment she deposited her last armload, the wagon turned around and started the return journey. Ash perched on the wagon seat for less than 30 minutes. Her wolf senses allowed her to hear Isolova talking with Dewshine, and the mirror's whimpers made her ears itch. She trotted alongside the wagon, sometimes racing ahead with Fang to scout the way. She worked off her jumbled feelings by chasing night creatures into panic. When daylight came and the wagon got off the road, Ash crouched in the back of the wagon bed and tried to sort through the books, creating some kind of order to save herself time when they reached the castle. Some of the ruts the wagon bounced through made that task difficult, knocking over the piles she had just made. We hope you enjoyed today's chapter. For more information on all the books and series featured in this podcast, or to purchase the ebook or audiobook for future reading and listening pleasure, please visit yeolddragonbooks.com. You can also find more information about our books and purchase ebooks on our Patreon page, Ye Old Dragons Library. Please consider supporting the podcast to gain access to free stories or discounts, or a chance to purchase a new book in advance of release. Thanks for listening to this episode of Ye Old Dragons Library.